Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry is a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers love Issues Etc.
We've, and I'll speak here in the first person plural because I fit into this category, we fathers have gone from being useful buffoons. We bring home a paycheck, and that's good. Dad, for a long time, really was viewed as the source of income for the family. But, you know, there are other sources of income. If his paycheck can be replaced by somebody else's, why do you need Dad if that's all he is? And he kind of bumbles around the house. Maybe he's able to fix a thing or two. And we say thank you to him every year on Father's Day, but it's more of a necessity. It's not like mothers. I mean, fathers are not really necessary, are they? I mean, the culture will tell you they're not really absolutely necessary. They're more optional nowadays. Or not. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Live this Tuesday afternoon, June the 7th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about the impact of fathers on culture with Dr. Jennifer Oback Morse in the first few minutes of this hour. A little bit later, Dr. Joel Bierman will join us from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. We'll talk about a recent New York Times column, Religion and Sex Quiz, with some interesting answers. We'll see if they add up against what the Bible really teaches about human sexuality. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email with questions or comments, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or visit our Facebook fan page. Leave your questions or comments on the New York Times column on religion and sex, the quiz there. Facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Oback Morse is a regular guest. She's founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's authored the books Love and Economics and Smart Sex. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
Nowadays, Dad is like the sunroof on your car. It's an option. Maybe it's nice to have around, but not a necessity. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, to treat Dad like he's an accessory, that really is unfair both to the dad and to children and to what children get from being in a relationship with their fathers. You know, there's a lot of evidence showing how not only how children benefit from being close to their fathers, that children in fatherless homes are at risk for a whole variety of social pathologies, but also even showing that after divorce, children who remain in contact with both parents do better than children who do not. So that also suggests the role of the father. And then finally, there's this kind of consistent evidence that relationship with the Father is helpful in the development of empathy, that preschoolers who spend more time with their fathers, who have closer relationships with their fathers, are more likely to be empathetic as they grow older. So the role of the father is not so cut and dried or as obvious as the mother's role, but there's still a lot going on in the relationship between the father and the children, and we have to say the relationship between the mother and the father. It's my considered opinion that children benefit from a positive relationship between their mother and their father because they see how to treat a person of the opposite sex, if it's a girl looking around and seeing how men and women interact with one another. She's got a better idea of what to expect from a man, and she's less apt to settle for too little from a guy. And likewise with a young boy, seeing how his father treats his mother, it helps him to see how you're supposed to treat women by watching his parents interact. And so I think that kind of father is a disposable idiot is really extremely short-sighted.
Have we, in a sense, created this problem for ourselves by taking an economic view of the family, so dad becomes primary source of income, maybe not sole, but primary source of income? But then with, as you pointed out many times in our conversations, with no-fault divorce, you can get that income from dad in the form of an alimony check. You don't need him around, necessarily. And if you can substitute some other income for dad's income, you may not need him at all. Have we done this to ourselves by taking too economic a view of marriage and family?
Well, it's certainly true that if you view that the family is an economic unit, there's no doubt of that. But if you view the family as solely an economic unit, then you'll take this approach that you just suggested, which is to say, well, what the family's about is passing resources around amongst people. And so the purpose of parenthood is to transfer resources from big people to little people. The purpose of marriage is to transfer resources from fathers to mothers. You know, if you think of it as simply a complicated set of resource transfers, then the thought will come to your mind fairly readily, well, gee, if all this is about is resources, if we can get the resources some other way, then we don't need the person. But in fact, what families are about is building relationships. And building relationships means that you have to be with the particular person. You can't just change people in and out, you know, and think that a paid substitute is the same as a mother, and that a government check is the same as a father. If you think that way, you're really missing out on the whole human dimension of what the family is about. And I think you're right that a lot of people have done that, and they haven't realized, I think, what they've thrown away by moving from the personal and the human to the impersonal and the purely economic or bureaucratic.
What has been the societal, I guess we could talk both here culturally, but the societal, encompassing all these things, political and otherwise, impact of sidelining the father when we think about family?
Well, that's a very good question, and that's one of these questions it's so important it's probably impossible to answer it in any kind of statistically certain way. So let me begin just by saying that we can't pull out a study that proves X, Y, or Z. But based on what we can prove, based on what we do know, I think you can say for sure that sidelining the fathers makes it harder for children to behave well. You know, and we have plenty of studies that point to this in various ways. But just last night, I did an interview on my program on Catholic Radio of San Diego with a guy called Dr. Warren Farrell, who's the author of Father and Child Reunion. And he made this just lovely point of saying, you know, think about when a father and a child are roughhousing and tickling and playing and so on. You know, a lot of people will dismiss that and say, oh, well, you guys who think fathers are important, all you have is this roughhousing business. But and you can't even prove that matters. But you know, think about what a complex social interaction it is when you take your child down and you're wrestling with them on the floor. The child learns either tacitly or implicitly or explicitly that there are certain things that he can't do. He can't kick his dad in the crotch. He can't punch. He can't pull hair. There's a certain set of things he can't do. But the whole point of roughhousing is that you kind of let it rip. You know, you can let her rip and then really have a good time and be spontaneous and wild and crazy and all that sort of thing. But there are limits to that. And so what that whole interaction is teaching the child is that you can have a great time and use your body and fling it out there and everything, but you have to be aware of other people, and you have to be aware of boundaries, and you have to be aware of limits. And the father may explicitly have to say sometimes what those limits are and say, you know what, you punched me, I don't care whether you meant it or not, tickling's over for tonight, maybe we'll do this again tomorrow. But a lot of what goes on isn't as explicit as that. But all the same, the child is learning to have a good time and at the same time to be aware of others. And I think that's where these results about empathy are really coming from. And so what has happened to us is that there, as there are fewer and fewer fathers teaching these things, teaching these kinds of very physical and emotional and social boundaries to their children, that has a spillover effect to even families where there is a father present, because their children are toddling off to school and they're interacting with kids who don't have as good of boundaries, who are pressing the limits with their maybe single moms, right? And single mom is like, okay, well, I'm going to let you do what you want to do and not set the limits just because I'm exhausted after a day's work or whatever the reason might be. And so even kids in intact families are more apt to be pushing the limits in a way that they wouldn't have been if they were participating in a whole social ecology where father presence was the norm. And so I think that we don't have a good enough understanding of what social ecology really is like, that if you're an intact family embedded in a neighborhood of other intact families, you got one kind of social ecology going on. But if you're the only married couple family in a neighborhood where everybody else is single moms, there are pressures on you and your children that simply would not be present if all of your neighbors were married, you know. So there's that whole dimension I don't think anybody's really paid enough attention to. And the few people who do pay attention to it find beyond any shadow of a doubt that living in a neighborhood with a high percentage of single parents has an impact on the kids, even in intact families. You can see it in school test scores, for example, things like that. So it really truly does matter, and the father's contribution to his own family and to society at large is quite substantial, and I think greatly underappreciated.
Well, when we come back, I got a few more questions for Dr. Jennifer Roback Marsh to talk about the impact of fathers on culture on this Tuesday afternoon, June the 7th. We'll be right back. Issues Etc. is listener supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. issuesetc.org. Stay connected. issuesetc.org.
Independent and in the black for 2 years and running, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest, people who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Issues Etc. regular guests Pastor Matt Harrison, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, and Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be speaking at the Premier Worship Conference of 2011. Sing His Praise, His Love Declare. It's July 27th through the 29th on the campus of Concordia University, Nebraska. For more information on the worship conference, Sing His Praise, His Love Declare, visit Seward2011.org or call 402-643-2983. Welcome back to Issues Etc. A few more minutes with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse talking about the impact of fathers on culture. Then we'll talk about a recent New York Times column, Religion and Sex Quiz, with some interesting answers. We'll see if they actually stack up against what the Bible really teaches about human sexuality. Jennifer, before we let you go, Father's Day is coming up. Tell us about the Ruth Institute's Father's Day reconciliation proposal.
Yes, well, I'm glad you asked about that, Todd. You know, we are very concerned about the separation of fathers from their children, both when you're little, when the kids are little, but also when the kids are grown up and adult. And we're aware that there are any number of adult children out there who wish that they had had more of a relationship with their father, who may or may not be angry with their father. But we also are aware that there are some fathers who wanted to be closer to their children, but for a variety of reasons, perhaps through the courts, perhaps through the mother acting as gatekeeper, the father was prevented from being more of a presence in his children's life, that he would have wanted to be more of a presence, but was unable to do so. And so what we put together on the Ruth Institute website is what we call the Father's Day Reconciliation Proposal, that we propose that if you're in that type of situation, that you take this year, this Father's Day, as an opportunity to reach out to whomever you may have separation from, whoever you would like to reach out, whether you are a father and you'd like to, you have something to say to your adult children, if you're an adult child and you wish you could say something to your father, and it may be that you have forgiveness to offer someone, or it may be that you have amends to make to someone. But what we want to just propose and encourage is that people go to that website and look at some of the sample letters and think about what might apply to you. Think about what positive steps you can take for improving the situation, for reaching out to whomever you may be estranged from. And if you can, you know, honestly say that you have some amends to make, that you be the one to take that step. You know, maybe you're a father who wish you had done more. Maybe you're a mother who now realizes that you had put too much separation between the children, or that you badmouth the father in ways that were destructive. Or maybe you're an adult child and you realize that, you know, you played the parents off against one another, and yeah, kids do that, but, you know, now you can see that you shouldn't have done that, and maybe you can make some amends for that. But whatever your situation might be, if there's a way that you can reach out and make amends or offer forgiveness, let's let this year be the year that you reach out to your dad or to your children on Father's Day. Let's not let another year go by. So we encourage people to go to the Ruth Institute website and look for the Father's Day icon that's on the upper right-hand corner of the website, and click through and look at some of the sample letters that we have there.
We'll post a link to the Ruth Institute's Father's Day Reconciliation Proposal at issuesetc.org. Go to Listen on Demand. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's authored the books Love in Economics and Smart Sex. Jennifer, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.